speaker this morning. I just want to real quickly just we want to lift up and remember a couple things in prayer this morning. Pastor Joe and Miss Charlotte and a team are in Will's Point this morning. That's how come Pastor Joe is not here with us. They're ministering at a church there in Will's Point. So we want to just remember them in prayer this morning, as well as our prison team that's in Gatesville. I believe there's about 10 people. 5 or 10 that went to Gatesville this morning and are ministering there at the women's prison in Gatesville. Also, we have a young lady from Iowa, Caroline, who's not feeling well, and they're getting ready to journey back, 16 hours back to Iowa. And so we want to just lift her up this morning and as well continue to remember Brother Tim, who flew out today to be with his family at the loss of his uncle this past week. So we want to just remember them this morning. Father, we just want to lift these needs up to you this morning, as well as Tasha, Father. And God, you know, Father, that you are the great healer, Father, that you are the one, Father, who, God, can bring restoration, Lord. And so, Lord, I want to put Tasha in your hands this morning, God. And, Lord, that this diagnosis of this heart condition, God, Lord, that has come forth, Lord, God, we say that, Lord, that you are able to heal her, Father, that you are able to do abundantly above, Father, anything that we can even think or imagine in our minds, God, because you are our Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals us, God. And so, Lord, we place her in your hands this morning, God. Father, we pray for Joe and Charlotte and the team there in Will's Point, Father, that, God, that many will come to know about the mission of Calvary Commission and the Church of Living Hope, Father, God, and its vision and its purposes, God, that you would use that team today, God, to fulfill your perfect plan and your destiny, God. Lord, we want to just lift up Brother Tim to you, Lord, and just give him safe travels, Father, this week, God, and the family, Lord, at this loss of the uncle, Father, of their family. God, again, Lord, that you would comfort them, Lord, in this time of loss, Lord, as well as his family here, Miss Karen and the children. God, we bless them, Lord. We speak your life and your peace over them, God. And, Father, we just want to lastly lift up this prison team, God, at Gatesville, Lord. God, that you would use them, Lord, in a mighty way, Father, Lord, that your word would go forth, God, that it would break and melt the hearts of those, God, who are far from you, God, and who don't know you, Lord God, who are still a sinner needing to be saved by grace, God. Lord, so let the power of your cross, Lord, let the centrality of the cross and who you are, Lord Jesus, come forth, God, in word and in power, Father, today by the power of your spirit, God, to touch the lives of these women, God. And Lord, we just pray for your safe travels upon that team there as well, God, to and fro, Father, today, God. And again, Lord, we thank you this morning and we love you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I am pleased and honored to be able to introduce this gentleman this morning. Brother Jack is going to be sharing with us. Why don't you come on up, Brother Jack? Brother Jack has been in ministry longer than most of us in this place have been on the face of this planet. Okay? He has just been such a blessing to our foundations class. I got to hear him speak last week, and just an amazing, mighty man of God, full of wisdom. And just humble, and again, I'm honored to be able to introduce you this morning, Brother Jack. Brother Jack, break bread with us this morning. Amen. Amen. Bless you, brother. Thank you.
Is it okay for me to stand down here? Sir, yeah. That's not big enough for me. Thank you. Oh, my, it's great to be here, and I am honored to be with you, to be able to speak to you this morning. And, in fact, I started to break that book up with about 50 pages so that I could have something to say, but I decided not to do that this morning. Anyway, it's great. How many of you have I never met? My, where have you been? I've been waiting 92 years to meet you. My, this is great. I'd like for you to do something for me. Turn to your neighbor and say, Brother Jack, thank you, look real good this morning. Now, don't you feel better? I'm asking my dear wife to come up here because I'm sure that most of you have not met her. And this, see, you had only seen half of me when I got up here. Now this is the other half. And I'm going to ask Pat if she would just say a few words.
What I want to say is I'm a lot younger than him.
Yeah. Well, I had to marry a younger woman to find somebody that could keep up with me. I like a little bit of humor, so let's start with the Aggie joke. There was this Aggie that was in a hailstorm and just got his car pitted something terrible. So he went to a body shop to see what they said about it, and the body shop man thought he'd kind of play around with him. You know how the people are, like to gig these Aggies, you know. And so he said, I'll tell you what you do. You go home and you blow into your tailpipe, and those bumps will just pump out. So this Aggie goes home, he gets down on his hands and knees, and starts blowing into the tailpipe of that car. And another Aggie come along, and he said, what are you doing? He said, well, the body man said if I would blow in my tailpipe, that these bumps would pump out of my car, and so that's what I was doing. He said, you've got to roll the windows up first. Well, it is a privilege to minister to you this morning, and I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes on the subject of faith, what it is, and how to get it. Faith, what it is, and how to give it. A lot of people try to have faith. How many of you have ever tried to have faith? Well, you don't need to try. All you need to do is practice. Instead of trying to have faith, just practice faith. But I'm going to give you some understanding. I had a Danish friend that preached for me. He was a district superintendent of the Assemblies of God for many years in the state of Kansas. And then he became a missionary. And then he became a director of missions for all of Europe, the Middle East, and India. That had just, you know, he just didn't have much to do. But he preached for me, and he'd slap the desk, and he'd say, I'm going to give you some faith, F-A-T-E. Well, I'm going to give you some faith, F-A-I-T-H. Faith, what it is, and how to get it. Now, faith is a very simple thing that, and somebody asked me in England, of course, in England, if you say somebody is simple, that means something's wrong upstairs, you see. So I said, some people in England asked me why I preach so simply. I said, it's because I am. All right. So faith is a simple thing. It is your ability to believe the word of another. Faith is your ability to believe the word of another. And if you open your Bibles and read, please, from Hebrews. That's over toward the back of the Bible in case you didn't know. The book of Hebrews, chapters 10, starting at verse 35 and going through the 11th chapter and the 6th verse. And we find there that God is talking about, he says, do not cast away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. In other words, it has a payday. The word recompense, how many of you work for wages? Any of you work for wages? Well, what do you expect when the payday comes, you expect recompense, don't you? See, that's so cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense and reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you may receive his promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry, but the just shall live by faith. We're not of them that draw back unto perdition, but them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now the just shall live by faith. But faith is, now faith is. That's the way my Bible reads. Now faith is. When is faith? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Enoch, by faith Enoch was translated and did not see death because God translated him. See, by faith Enoch was translated and did not see death because God translated him. And verse 6 says, Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I want you to get that. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. How many of you want to please God? Well, you've got to have faith to do it. Now, let me give you an idea again of faith. And I'm going to give you some word, scripture in just a little bit, but any of you that came forward for prayer today, Jesus made a statement concerning prayer, and listen to this prayer. And when you pray, believe you receive it, and you shall have it. That's Mark chapter 11 and verse 24. And when you pray, believe you receive it, and you shall have it. Now, how many of you saw in there, Jesus said, keep coming back and saying the same thing over again. Did you see that there? Nobody? Well, why did we do it? And when you pray, believe you receive it, and you shall have it. I wonder if Jesus lied about that. Believing that scripture is faith. Let me give you another example of faith. Pastor called me the other day, and he said, I will not be there Sunday. Don't we miss him? Always miss him and his dear wife when they're not here, right? But anyway, he said, I won't be there, and I'd like for you to take the service. I said, yes, sir. See, I was a sergeant in the Army, and I knew how to say, yes, sir. So I said, yes, sir. Well, I began to practice. I took him at his word. Now, I wasn't sure, absolutely sure, according to my eyes and according to my feelings, according to what I smelled or what I tasted, I wasn't really sure that he wouldn't be here. See, in other words, I took him at his word and I began to prepare to speak to you this morning by taking him at his word. Well, he could fail, couldn't he? But my God can never fail to do the things that he said he will do. So now, let me get another example. If you needed a job, or you had a job, and we'll say Exxon, the CEO of Exxon wrote you a letter And in that letter said, if you will meet me at certain place on a certain date at a certain time, and I will take the teaching that I give you, I will guarantee you that within a year you will be earning $100,000 a year. How many of you would be there? That's faith. So you read it, you read that letter, and you prepared yourself, and I'm sure you'd get dressed accordingly, wouldn't you? To be there on time. That's faith. See, that's faith in the word of man, but how about the faith in the word of God? So the first faith I'm going to talk about is faith for healing. And let me just say this, if you came this morning for healing and were touched by the believer, according to the word of God, the moment that you were touched, your healing took place and you will see the result. So whatever you came for, just believe you receive it and you shall have it. Okay, so the word of God, if you look at Exodus chapter 15, and I hope he can put this on the board, on the screen, but Exodus chapter 15, and let's look at verse 36, or 20, yeah, verse 26, I'm sorry. Exodus 15, verse 26, and you will see there that God said that if you will hearken to my word and do that which is right in my sight, keep my commandments, but the commandments is the word of God. So just keep the word of God. When I see the word commandments in the Bible, I translate it the word of God. So if you will keep my word and do that which is right in my sight, I will put none of these diseases upon you which I have put upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that heals you. For I am the Lord that heals you. Well, if he says that he is the Lord that heals you, what is he? Did he really mean that? Did God really mean, did he tell the truth when he said, I am the Lord that heals you? I stand before you 92 years of age and enjoying the best of life. Hallelujah. 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 See, I am the Lord that heals you. Well, if he's the Lord that heals you, how many of you have received him? Well, you've got healing then. If you got him, you got healing because he's the Lord that heals you. Is that simple enough? See, so believing that and taking action on it is faith. But if you don't take action on it, it's not faith. Then we go to, that is Exodus 15, 26. Then you go to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 15. The first part of that verse, by the way, this is God saying the same thing in other words. He said, I will take away from you. Are there any yous here? I will take away from you all sickness and all diseases. I wonder if God told the truth. He said, I'll take away from you all sickness and all diseases. I'll take away from you all sickness and all disease. I'll take away from you all sickness and all disease. Did he tell the truth? Then we go to Psalm 107. Psalm 107. By the way, I'm using my notes. Psalm 107. And let's look at verse 20. Psalm 107 and verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their distress. He sent his word and healed them. Well, if you hear his word, what do you get? If you hear his word, what do you get? That's hard to understand, isn't it? It's so difficult. You see, I am a believer and not a doubter. That's what I am. I don't try to believe, I just believe. So many of us are trying to believe when all he's wanting us to do is to believe and then act on our belief. Okay, so he said that he sent his word and healed. I was listening to an interview one time on television by Dr. Graham, and they asked him, of course, you see, people want to try to catch you sometime. They said, Dr. Graham, you never talk about healing from the scripture. What do you think about it? He said, the scripture's true. And let me add to that, there is nothing that has ever or will ever happen to you or anybody else that changes the Word of God. Somebody asked me recently, well, if you pray for somebody and they die, what do you do? I say, next. Because I can't receive their healing for them. They have to receive it, and it's a gift from God. Just like you have to receive salvation, which is a gift from God. If you're, and I'll get into that part later, you see. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God. That's John chapter 3 and verse 1. See, as many as received him have the authority to become a child of God. If you received him, you became what? A child of God. So you became a child of God. If you believe you're a child of God, then that is exactly right. But everybody is not a child of God, according to the scripture. Until you are born again, you are not a child of God, and we'll get into that later. But you see, those that received him became a child of God. Now, if you have children, and one of your children gets sick, you would do everything in your power to get that child well, wouldn't you? Well, do you think that God thinks any less of you than you think of your children? I don't think so. I believe God thinks just as much of you as you think of your children. And he is the Lord, our healer. Praise God. So then we go, we've gotten the word, right? Then in Isaiah chapter 53, Isaiah 53, he was wounded, chapter 53, verse 5. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 5. Isaiah, that's almost the middle of your Bible. Past the Psalms. Psalms is the middle, and then past the Psalms, you'll find Isaiah. Chapter 53 and verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This is Isaiah looking forward to the time that Jesus would bear the stripes in his body. This was looking forward to the time that Jesus would be beaten And with his stripes, we are healed. And then we look at, now, if we are, I like, how many of you have ever heard Dr. K.C. Price from California preaching on television? Anyway, Dr. K.C. Price said, if my Bible says I are healed, I are. And if I are, I is. So just take it that way. If God says I are healed, I are healed. And since I are healed, I is. You may not like for me to say it in those words, but I'm just repeating him. Okay? That's Dr. Price. Anyway, that's the way the Word of God is. If it says I are, I is. Then we look at 2 Peter. Now, that's back toward the back of your Bible. I mean, that's way up, way over to the end, almost to the end of your Bible. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. And that says to me, with his stripes we were healed. When did the healing take place? According to God, your healing took place the moment that whip hit my Lord's body. Let me say that again. According to the Word of God, the moment that whip hit my Lord's body, you were healed. Because with his stripes, you were healed. Where it took place back there, just the same as your salvation took place the minute he shed his blood. The minute he shed his blood, you got saved, but you had to receive it. See, so when we talk about this believing God for healing, we have to see what his word says. In the services, I've quit praying for the sick. You know what I do? Mark 16 and verse 18. Mark 16 and verse 18 says, the believer, which I am, shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's what Jesus said. The believer, them that believe, shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. No hope so. No maybe so. Not if you get goosebumps. Not if you feel some jerks. Not if something big happens to you. But according to the scripture, you shall recover when the believer lays hands on you. So if you were sick and I laid hands on you, what shall you do? Hard to understand, isn't it? The believer shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Then I'm going to talk a minute about faith for finances or material blessing. If you look at the scripture in Hebrews, I'll get it right here in a minute. But the scripture does tell us that in Proverbs, that's the word I wanted, in Proverbs chapter 3. Verses 9 and 10, he says, honor the Lord with the first fruits of your substance, and your barns or your storage place will be filled with plenty. Listen to that. Honor the Lord with your substance, and your barns will be filled with plenty. Doesn't that sound to me, to you, like that God wants you to have good stuff? And does it sound to you like that God wants you to have plenty of everything? See, your storage place, see, the bank, what is the bank but a storage place? What is your wallet but a storage place? What is your front pocket but a storage place? I've seen the time that in the ministry that Sister Hetzel and I, that was my first wife and myself, was traveling in England doing some revivals, and we stopped at a place called Derby, and we counted our money and didn't have enough money to buy a cup of coffee. But guess what? I was a rich man that day. See, wealth or prosperity is not what you have, but what you are. Let me repeat that. Prosperity is not what you have, but what you are. And when you become prosperous on the inside, it's going to eventually show on the outside. Isn't that something? And when you become prosperous on the inside, you're going to become prosperous. It's going to show up in material blessing on the outside. In fact, I preached a sermon in Scotland on the greatest love story ever told. The greatest love story ever told, and it was from Genesis chapter 1 and 2. It's the greatest love story ever told. You see, God knew that he was going to make man. He knew that you were going to be here. So he had to prepare a place for your dwelling. A few years ago, I was at a place called Bodensee, Germany. Now, the word sea just means lake. So there was this big lake that was called Boden. And this Bodensee is, we had a military cafeteria there, so I stopped for something to eat, and I found out that in this lake there was a large island, and on this island somebody had built a castle in preparation for his sweetheart. Now, he didn't need that castle. He built it in preparation. He was engaged to the lady to get married. So he built that castle in preparation for his lover. So God created everything that is created in preparation for you, his lover. He wanted you to be his lover. So he created everything that was created for his lover. Now, isn't that material blessing? See, he put here all the oil and all of the gas and all of the food that we would ever need in history. And then he created his lover. Talking about love, that is love, isn't it? I could go into a long, long explanation of that, but I don't think I need to. God created it for you. And by the way, one of the first things he told Adam after he had created him, he said, now, Adam, that's in chapter 3, by the way. He said, no, chapter 2. He said, you go down to the river Pison. That's Genesis chapter 2. You go down to the river Pison. There's two rivers there. You go down to the forks of that river, and you will find gold, and it is very good. So God wanted you to be rich. He wanted you to be rich. See, he said, Adam, go down there, and you will find gold, and it is very good. And you will find onyx stones. He wanted him to look good. He wanted to be rich, and he wanted him to look good. The onyx stones is made for jewelry, and some of the best of jewelries, right? So he wanted him to have the best. And then he said, you will find Debulun there. Well, Debulun is the only use they've found for Debulun is to make the most expensive perfumes that is ever made. So he wanted us to look good. He wanted us to feel good. And he wanted us to dress good. And then he wanted us to smell good. I mean, why else would he do it, right? So this is the way God is talking to Adam. And by the way, why should you and me not be what God wants us to be? See, I'm a prosperous person. Like I said, the day that I could not buy a cup of tea in England, I was very prosperous. Because I knew where I was going, and I knew what I was going to get there. Then I'm going to talk, see, then we find in Malachi, that's just before the New Testament. That's the last book before the New Testament. Malachi chapter 3, and we read there in Malachi chapter 3, beginning at verse 8, I believe it is, verse 6. And we read there that God said, that will a man rob God? In other words, would you be a thief? Would you be a crook? Would you be a thief? You have robbed me in tithes and in offerings. I've heard a lot of talk in this church about tithes, but I haven't heard anything about offerings. And God said, if we're not tithing and offering, we are robbing him. If we're not, 10% is a tithe. So if your income before deductions is $100, you owe God $10. If it's $200, you owe God $20. And then an offering on top of that. I'm reminded when I was a kid, my dad was pastoring over here in Frankston, Texas. He pioneered the First Assembly of God in Frankston, Texas. And there was a lady there that came to him and said, Brother Hetzel, I can't afford to tithe. All I have is 75 cents a week. And I do take in laundry from two men to get that 75 cents. And so I can't afford to tithe. So my dad said, well, let's think of it this way. If you have 75 cents, that means 7.5 cents belongs to God. And the rest of it is yours. But if you put in 10 cents, that is tithes and offerings. So he said, why don't you prove God? If God says, prove me therewith, says the Lord of hosts, that I will pour out of you a blessing that you are not able to receive. Prove me. It's the only place in the Bible that God has ever said, prove me, and that is with finances. Isn't that amazing? I don't want to be called a robber. I don't want to be called a thief, do you? But God, if we're not tithing every paycheck, we are a robber, we are a thief. I I heard some old me's, or I should have heard some old me's. You see, that is God talking about finances or material blessing, didn't he? And he says, if you'll do this, I will open the windows of heaven and will pour out a blessing that you're not able to receive it. Wow. Prove me. See that I will open. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and your crops will not fail. And you, by the way, you'll not fail on your job or whatever the case is. Praise God. Some people are wondering, why didn't that man pray before he started his sermon? Because I prayed before I got here. I prayed before I decided what to preach. And when God told me what to preach, then I figured that was enough praying about that. I'm silly, aren't I? I like being silly. Anyway, you see, prove me therewith. But now I want to talk about faith for salvation. Jesus made a statement in John chapter 3 and verse 3. It's like this: except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. That word see is a twofold word. It means physically and mentally. The reason a lot of people in this world do not understand why we are in this church today is because they are not born again. They cannot understand us. If you're not understood by your neighbors or your friends, then it is because they're not born again. That's simple, isn't it? See? But you must be born again. Unless you're born again, you will not see or understand the kingdom of heaven. And another meaning I get there is you ain't going there. That's another pretty simple statement, isn't it? You're just not going there. Okay, so except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, of heaven, or a kingdom of God. And I sure want to be born again. You might say, well, then how can a person be born again? Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 8. But what saith it? Now, what is the it there is the Holy Spirit, so it should be read. If I was translating it, I would say, what does he say? That's the Holy Spirit. You look back at verse 3. And you'll see that it's the Holy Spirit speaking on this wise, you see. But what saith he? That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13, for whosoever, oh, I like that word, whosoever. That includes everybody in here, right? That includes those people driving down the highway, right? Those people out there on the interstate. That includes the people in the honky-tonks. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not hope so, not maybe so, not if you get goosebumps, not if you cry, not if you scream or yell. Call on the Lord. I wonder if God meant that. Did God mean that if you just call on him, you'd be saved? I'm reminded of a friend of mine that worked with Teen College for many years. And he was a dope peddler. That's what I call it. I don't know what you want to call it, but I call it a dope peddler. And he got caught and put in jail. And his father was a Christian, but his father had read from the Bible every day where the scripture said, if you will call him on the name, he that believes in him shall not will be saved, and his household. That's in Acts 16:31. And he said that one day I was walking through, this is before he was in jail, he said, I was walking through the house and I noticed my dad pointing at that Bible and saying, God, you said it. Acts 16:31. God, you said it. God, you said it. God, you said it. You'll be saved and your household. Praise God. That's your house, your sons, your daughters, your children, your cousins, your uncles, your aunts. You can believe for the whole bit, see? And he said, God, you said it. So then he got put in jail, and he didn't want to read the Bible. He liked to read, but he didn't want to read the Bible. But in that jail cell, there was only one thing to read, and that was the Bible. So he threw it, and it slid under the bars, everything but the page that Romans 10 12, 10, 8 to 13. And he picked up that after sitting there for an hour and grumping that they only had one thing in that cell for him to read. He picked up that sheet and he read it. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he said, God help me. And he said, right there, I was saved. And he said, miraculously, my charges were dropped. He just shouted out, God help me. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I wonder if that's true. Did God mean what he said? All right, if he meant what he said, if there's anyone here that you're not sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven, I want to pray for you. So if there's anyone sure here that you're not absolutely sure that you're saved, and if you died today, you'd go to heaven, I want to see your hand. I want to pray for you. Anyone? You're not sure. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? So raise your hand and say, I'm not sure that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. Anyone? Anyone over here? Anyone over here? Anyone in this area? That if you were saved, okay, here's another one. God bless you. Another. I want to pray for you. Another. Another. God bless you. I want to pray for you. Another. I want to pray for you. Another. Another. God bless you. I want to pray for you. Another. Another. God bless you. Now, I'm going to ask all of you that raise your hand to do something ridiculous. Is that okay? I want you to just come up here and stand in front of me, looking at me. If you raise your hand, come on up here. Come on up here. That's it. Just form a line across here. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, my Bible tells me that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you were to call on the Lord while you're standing here, what shall you be? Did he lie about that? He told the truth? Okay, so when you call on the Lord, you shall be saved. Now, I've helped thousands and hundreds of thousands of people to call on the Lord. And I want to help you to call on the Lord. And what I want you to do is I'll give you words to put in your heart and let them come out of your mouth. and you say these words from your heart and let them come out of your mouth according to what Jesus said, what the Word says, you shall be saved, right? Okay, so just pray this prayer right out loud with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I call upon you, knowing that I've sinned and missed the mark. Forgive me of all of my sins and come into my life. Save me, Lord. Save me now in the name of Jesus. And you said that if I would call on you, I would be saved. I have called on you, and I know that I'm saved. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Now, you've heard this word, and I'm going to ask each of you to answer a question for me, and I want you to answer it out loud, will you? Okay, did you call on the Lord? What did you just get? He said if you call on him, you would be saved. Did you call on him? What did you get?
Salvation.
Huh? You got saved. What did you get? What did you get?
Salvation.
What did you get?
Salvation.
What did you get?
Salvation.
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 Yes. Mm-hmm. Salvation.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now, turn around and look at these people. And I want you to turn around. You got to pronounce it with your mouth. I want you to tell these people, each one, and we're going to start here, tell these people, I called on the Lord and I got saved.
I called on the Lord and I got saved.
Go ahead.
I called on the Lord and I got saved. I called on the Lord and I got saved.
Hallelujah! You may be seated now. Thank you, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Wow. By the way, those that just got saved, there's another step that you need to take, and that's to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And that means you receive the experience of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gives you utterance. But this is the launching pad. You've got to get this first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you glad you came today? Are you happy you came today? I'm so happy that you're here. God bless you and keep you. Where'd Jason go? Oh, here he is. I don't say with this, I'll close. I just close.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. You know, Jack said that there is another step, but there are other steps as well. It's time for discipleship. Okay? Those of you who proclaimed what you proclaimed up here before God and before this congregation today, now it's time to start to learn the Word of God and learn how to walk this Christian life out. I'm not talking about works and trying to earn your way. You've received the free gift of salvation today when you made the proclamation that, Lord God, I want to call upon your name and be saved. I want all those to come back again. I want the elders of the church. I want to pray for all those who made that commitment today in the Lord. Amen. I would like for the elders of the church this morning, if they would, please, elders, will you come up? And let's pray. Let's pray for these. Amen. Because This is a huge step for each and every single one of you. What you have done today, you have made the greatest decision in your life that you will ever make. But understand this, the spiritual fight begins. Amen. The devil wants you back in his camp. He wants each and every single one of you back. He wants your mind. He wants every part of you back. And he'll do anything that he can. And you're going to need a fellowship of believers to surround you on a weekly basis. You're going to need the word of God that's going to come forth in power, in authority, in truth to build you up in your most holy faith. Because understand this, you cannot do it alone. You will not, you cannot, and you will not do it alone. The Holy Spirit is very much alive and wants to endue you with power upon high to walk out this Christian life. Amen? He wants to give you his power and his life. But again, it's going to take you making the proper steps, okay? You can't leave this service today and just go on about life anymore. It's time to grow. You're like a small child, a baby that has been born again, and now you need to be fed. You need to be nurtured. You need to be prayed over and cared for just like a small child until you can become strong enough to walk on your own and you can start bringing others into the kingdom. Amen? God is going to do mighty work. So let's just release. If we can have the Davion, why don't you come to the piano? And we just want, and please, congregation as well, stretch your hands toward these as we pray for them today. Again, we know that this is a powerful time. The angels in heaven are rejoicing this morning, amen, over these who have given their lives to the Lord, and the fight is on, and they're going to need us. They're going to need us, their spiritual family, to help them. Yes, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for the amazing work, God. Thank you, Father God, for the word that's come forth today, Father. The word that's able to destroy every stronghold, Lord God, that's able to save the engrafted word, God, which is saving souls, God. We are seeing the evidence of that today, Father, in the life that you have given these who have made the decision, God, to commit their lives to you today, God. Lord, this is just a first step. Lord, they're going to need your Holy Spirit. Lord, they're going to need that rebirth, God, to take place in their hearts and in their lives, Lord God. And as Jesus told Nicodemus, Lord, we don't understand how it happens, but you do, God. And they've called upon you, Lord. And we believe the promise, Lord, that you said that all whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, God. And today, Lord, this wonderful thing has been fulfilled in our sight and our hearing, God. And Lord, we commit these things to you, Holy Spirit. God, I commit these two brothers to you today, God. Lord, I want to pray, Father, that you, God, that you would strengthen them, God. That, Lord, that they would begin to take your word, God. That you would put in them a hunger, Father, for your word, God. You said that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled, God. I pray, God, that they would begin to hunger and thirst after the things of you, God. And, Lord, that they would take your word, God, and begin to be filled, Father, with your goodness, God. That you would wash their minds, O Lord God. That you would wash their minds, Lord, by your word, Father, Lord. Creating in them, Lord, a new creation, Lord. A new creation today, God. New creations have been born today, God. And Lord, we rejoice with the angels in heaven. Hallelujah, Father. For the amazing things, God, that has taken place today in the lives of these brothers and sisters, Lord God. Lord, we cover them, Lord, with the precious blood of Jesus, Lord God. We pray your protection upon them, God, that every plan and every attack of the enemy, Father, God, that you, God, would thwart, Father. And that, Lord, that you, Father, would put, again, your righteousness upon them, Lord, as you did at the cross, Lord Jesus. May they be robed in your righteousness today, God. Not in the works of their hands, God, but, Lord, the work that you did, Father, when you died upon the cross. And gave us life today, God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Let's just continue to pray for these this morning. Thank you, Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Let's stand this morning and let's sing this to the Lord.
Oh my soul.
Yes, Lord.
Worship his holy name.
Yes, thank you.
Sing like never before. And oh, my soul,
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your songs again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, and oh my soul. I worship His holy name. Sing like never before. And oh my soul, I worship His holy name. You're rich in love, and you're slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. I worship His holy name. Sing like never before. It's oh my soul, I worship Your holy. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, no,
yes, Lord,
my soul.
Thank you, Father.
Worship His holy name. Sing like never before.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Oh my soul.
Yes, Lord.
I worship Your holy.
Amen. Thank you, Lord God.
Lord, I worship
Your holy
your
name.
Holy,
yes, Lord.
Name.
Yes, God. We worship Your holy name.
Lord, I worship Your holy,
yes,
Lord, name.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I was just thinking, as we're standing here, I just want to encourage y'all specifically that if this morning have declared and given your lives to the Lord, that as we're singing this song, Scripture in the Bible says there's power in the tongue of life and death. And it talks about how worship literally is a weapon in the Scripture. That it's a weapon. As we praise God, there's a spiritual power there of life. It's life. And I want to tell you something. You need, one, the weapons that God gives you, and we need life, obviously. So when you start to experience that battle, regardless of what you feel, you praise God and thank God for what He's done and start to begin to voice that praise and that thanks and that adoration. There's a spiritual power and freedom that comes from nothing else. That God has given us that power of life and death in our tongue. And that adoration, that praise unto Him brings freedom. So I just want to encourage you, if you don't know anything else to do, then pray and worship and open your mouth and declare the life that God has given you. There's life in that. Amen.
Amen. Any of our other elders got a word?
Church, I just feel like God is still saying something, not just to those that don't know Him, but to us who say that we're born again. That this morning God said, everything that I've called you, that's what you are. Not what you think you are. Not what you think you have. Not what you think you can see. But what the Word of God has said you are. What the Word of God has said you have. And brother, Brother Jack, I don't know if everything that he said, I completely walk out. Do you? Do you have everything that God says that you have? Do you stand and work and in church and wherever you are as a child of the living God? One that lives above reproach? See, you don't have to live in sin. You can say, I'm a man of God, but I'm pure. I'm a woman of God, but I'm pure. I have integrity. I have honesty. I have the Word of God, and everything that flows through me is the Word of God. I take responsibility for my failures, but I don't hide them. So not just salvation today, but there's healing here, and you need to receive it. And I want to say, God, I receive everything that you have. How about you? How about you? Are you going to leave here the same? Are you going to leave here like you came? I don't know if we're getting it. See, I don't know about you, but it should break your heart. And I'm not putting above you or putting below you. I'm saying, we say, everyone that's not up here, you're saying that you have received him. And is that true? Is that really true? Do you really know him? Just because you knew him years ago doesn't mean you know him like today. You can be married to someone and not be close to them. So guess what? This altar's not over. See, it's not 12 o'clock, Jason or Jack. Healing is here. If you have a disease or you have something that the doctors call to you, don't leave yet. You come down here. If you know that you're addicted to some things that you haven't, that you know as a child of God, you're not supposed to be. You need to be at the altar. If there's some stuff in your heart that you say, God, I'm a Christian. I grew up in it. I know it. But I'm not living it. There's stuff that you're watching, stuff that you're listening to, stuff that you're laughing at that God hates. Then you need to come down to the altar today. You can be in Christ and be a prisoner to things, to religion, that you look good and you sound good and you sing good. But he said, I'm God, and you're my son, you're my daughter. So where are you at today? And God's saying, Chris, where are you at? Are you at the altar? That's where it's at. That's where it's always been. So how about mediocrity in Tyler, Texas? Or I don't care. I can go all across the world and still, God say, I just want to be with you. I don't care where you go. I don't care what you do at work. I want to know you. I want to be with you. Is that your heart? This ain't a game. This is not a joke. And some of the things that I do, and I'm a holy man, I am. But I fail God and it breaks my heart. I tithe and I give, but God says I want all. See, he's either Lord of everything or he's Lord of nothing. So where are you at today? I believe that everybody here should be at this altar. And I ask that right now, you search your heart. You say, God, I want more. Are you satisfied with where you are? Are you satisfied with your ministry? Because if it's yours, it's not God's. Are you going to let go today? Some of you got children and you've got fathers and you've got brothers. And God's saying, even you Iowa students, he's blessed you and he's gifted you and he's anointed you. But where are you at? Because one day I said, God, I was at Calvary Commission. I studied. I was at the Church of Living Hope. And will he say, well done? I don't want to hurt you or offend you this morning, but if you're hurt or offended by something God is saying, then be offended. Be offended and come. Be offended and repent. For the kingdom is at hand. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of rededication. Today is the day of new beginnings. All things have passed away. So I just want to say that again. Blessed be the name of the Lord that he saved people today. But blessed be the name of the Lord that He's setting us again on the right road, on the right track, on the right direction. And God forbid if we raise our hands and our hearts be so far from Him.
Those of you that are here at the altar, if you just kind of get in here, I just want to say one quick thing to you. The Lord is, if you could just kind of take a look at me real quick. I want you to know that Pastor Jack, Jason, and all of us standing here stood where you were right now. There was a day when we stood right where you are. Maybe not in this place. You know, for me, it was as a 15, 16-year-old little girl. For Tom, he was very young. Pastor Jack, he just was born this way, right? But I want you to know, I don't want the enemy to overwhelm you and think, I could never get there. Could never get there. We all started right where you are at this moment. And it's worth the fight. And it's worth the pressing in. And it's worth the reading of the word. It's worth the prayers and all that. He's worthy of it. He's worthy of everything that you're about to experience. And I just want to encourage you, just keep walking. Just keep walking. Because the callings that God has for you have yet to be seen. The things that He's birthed in you and instilled in you, the anointing that's waiting for you to partake of, and the things for His kingdom that He has for you. You can't imagine it. You can't imagine it. But I just want to encourage you today. Everyone that you've heard from this morning started right where you are this moment. This moment. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. God's just doing a mighty work this morning. And we're going to continue to allow those who want to just linger at the altar here. But I want to pray real quick for all of our Iowa students before we do that. But all those that are up front here this morning, again, you know, right after church, we have discipleship classes specifically to help you grow, okay? We serve lunch, and I want to encourage you. I can't make you go. Wish I could. but you need it. You got to have it. You got to start growing in the Word. The Word of God is the foundation. If you don't have the Word, you're not going to grow. That's the spiritual food in which we eat. God said Jesus said that I shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He told Satan that during his temptation. He told Satan that. The Son of God. So how much more do we need the Word of God? Amen? So I want to encourage you guys that Foundations classes, you can get in anytime. I encourage you, stay today. I've got books, okay? I encourage you to get in the waters and begin to allow God to change you and transform you by His Word. Amen? Yes. And brother, yes, Jack is ordering it. He's our instructor, all right? So you guys are going to get blessed again, and God's Word is going to bless you. It's going to enrich your life, and it's going to show you how to walk this thing out. Like Tina said, we all started right where you guys are at. We were right there one day, and God has brought us along. We didn't do it. It was nothing of our own power, our own strength. It was God, His Holy Spirit, and His Word. Amen? God, His Holy Spirit, and His Word. So again, I encourage you guys, okay, stay after church. Amazing food. But more importantly, we have spiritual food. Amen? Amen. Let's pray over the Iowa students. They're getting ready to take off, and they've got a trip home, and we don't know what the road conditions are, where they're going, but we want to make sure that God's protection is with them, and, And so let's just stretch your hand to any of the Iowa students that are here. If you're standing next to them, lay your hands on them. And just let's impart just the Lord's protection upon them this morning as they go. Father, we thank you this morning, God. We thank you for this team, Father. God, I pray, Father, that everything that you spoke to their lives, God, that, Lord, that there would be a landmark, Lord, markers that have been set up in their lives, God, that they would constantly look back and remember the things in which you have done in their lives, Lord, during their stay here, Father. And God, we thank you, Father, for their hearts to give up, Lord, their free time, their spring break, Father, to come, Lord, and to minister, Lord, to your people here at Calvary Commission and Church Living Hope, God. We thank you for each and every single one of them, God. And Lord, we look forward to seeing them again, Lord God, that you would bring them back again, Father, that you would just speak things into their lives, God, Lord, from the things, Lord, in which you have done, Father, over this past week, God. Lord, we pray your protection upon them, God. Lord, we ask that they would go, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord. That, God, that every stop, Lord, there would be divine appointments, Father, that you would give them an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus Christ and about the ability that they have to give their lives to the Lord if they will simply call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. God, divine appointments, God. Divine appointments, Father, I pray in Jesus' mighty name, God. And we send them out, Father, in the power of your Holy Spirit, God. We thank you, Lord. We love you today, God. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And those who confess Jesus Christ today, I just want to say this. Welcome to the family of God. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. Church of Living Hope. Church of Living Hope, you have a responsibility now to these new ones. I want you to surround them. I want you to hug on them and love them. Let them know that you care for them and that you are here for them. Because that is they are our responsibility now. Amen? They are our responsibility to raise them up and nurture them. May you go and find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Amen? Amen. God bless you guys as you go in the name of the Lord. And real quick, this is the last day to sign up for the fundraiser. Bring it down a little bit, Debbie. This is the last day to...